Chapter 36. Myself the trouble, and them the expense of a letter. And I think that this is enough for one that comes home at 12 from a Lord Treasurer and Mrs. Masham. Oh, I could tell you 10,000 things of our mad politics, upon what small circumstances great affairs have turned. But I will go rest my busy head. 28. I was this morning with Brother Bathurst to see the Duke of Ormond. We have given his grace some hopes to be one of our society. The secretary and I and Bathurst are to dine with him on Sunday next. The Duke is not in much hopes, but has been very busy in endeavoring to bring over some lords against next Wednesday. The Duchess caught me as I was going out. She is sadly in fear about things, and blames me for not mending them by my credit with Lord Treasurer, and I blame her. She met me in the street at noon, and engaged me to dine with her, which I did, and we talked an hour after dinner in her closet. If we miscarry on Wednesday, I believe it will be by some strange sort of neglect. They talk of making 8 new lords, by calling up some peers' eldest sons, but they delay strangely. I saw Judge Coote, 16, today at the Duke of Ormond's. He desires to come and see me, to justify his principles. 29. Morning. This goes today. I will not answer yours, your 24th, till next, which shall begin tonight, as usual. Lord Shelburne has sent to invite me to dinner, but I am engaged with Lewis at Ned South Wells. Lord Northampton and Lord Aylesbury's sons, 17, are both made peers, but we shall want more. I write this post to your dean. I owe the Archbishop a letter this long time. All people that come from Ireland complain of him, and scold me for protecting him. Pray, Madam Dingley, let me know what Presto has received for this year, or whether anything is due to him for last. I cannot look over your former letters now. As for Dingley's own account of her exchequer money, I will give it on t'other side. Farewell, my own dearest M.D., and love Presto, and God ever bless dearest M.D., etc., etc. I wish you many happy Christmases and New Years. I have owned to the Dean a letter I just had from you, but that I had not one this great while before. Dingley's account received of Mr. Took. .676 deducted for entering the letter of attorney. 026 for the 3 half-crowns it used to cost you, I don't know why nor wherefore. .076 for exchange to Ireland. .010 for coach hire. .026 in all, just 800, so there's your money, and we are both even. For I'll pay you no more than that £8 Irish, and pray be satisfied. Churchwarden's accounts, boys. Saturday night. I have broke open my letter, and tore it into the bargain, to let you know that we are all safe. The Queen has made no less than 12 lords, 18, to have a majority, 9 new ones, the other 3 peers' sons, and has turned out the Duke of Somerset. She is awaked at last, and so is Lord Treasurer. I want nothing now, but to see the Duchess out. But we shall do without her. We are all extremely happy. Give me joy, sirs. This is written in a coffee house. 3 of the new lords are of our society. Letter 38. London, December 29, 1711. I put my letter in this evening, after coming from dinner at Ned South Wells, where I drank very good Irish wine, and we are in great joy at this happy turn of affairs. The Queen has been at last persuaded to her own interest and security, and I freely think she must have made both herself and kingdom very unhappy, if as he had done otherwise. It is still a mighty secret that Masham is to be one of the new lords. They say he does not yet know it himself. But the Queen is to surprise him with it. Mr. Secretary will be a lord at the end of the session, but they want him still in Parliament. After all, it is a strange unhappy necessity of making so many peers together, but the Queen has drawn it upon herself by her confounded trimming and moderation. 3, as I told you, are of our society. 30. I writ the Dean and you a lie yesterday, for the Duke of Somerset is not yet turned out. I was today at court, and resolved to be very civil to the Whigs, but saw few there. When I was in the bedchamber talking to Lord Rochester, he went up to Lady Burlington, one, who asked him who I was, and Lady Sunderland, and she whispered about me. I desired Lord Rochester to tell Lady Sunderland I doubted she was not as much in love with me as I was with her, but he would not deliver my message. The Duchess of Shrewsbury came running up to me, and clapped her fan up to hide us from the company, and we gave one another joy of this change, but sighed when we reflected on the Somerset family not being out. The secretary and I, and Brother Bathurst, and Lord Windsor, dined with the Duke of Ormond. Bathurst and Windsor, too, are to be two of the new lords. I desired my Lord Radnor's brother, three, at court today, to let my lord know I would call on him at six, which I did, and was arguing with him 3 hours, to bring him over to us, and I spoke so closely, that I believe he will be tractable. But he is a scoundrel, and though I said I only talked for my love to him, I told a lie, for I did not care if he were hanged. But everyone gained over is of consequence. The Duke of Marlborough was at court today, and nobody hardly took notice of him. Masham's being a lord begins to take wind. Nothing at court can be kept a secret. Wednesday will be a great day. You shall know more. 31. Our frost is broken since yesterday, and it is very slabbery. 4. Yet I walked to the city and dined, and ordered some things with the printer. I have settled Dr. King in the Gazette. It will be worth £200 a year to him. Our new lord's patents are passed. I don't like the expedient, if we could have found any other. I see I have said this before. I hear the Duke of Marlborough is turned out of all his employments. I shall know tomorrow when I am to carry Dr. King, to dine with the secretary. These are strong remedies. Pray God the patient is able to dash bear them. The last ministry people are utterly desperate. January 1. Now I wish my dearest little MD many happy New Years. Yes, both Dingley and Stella, A and Presto too, many happy New Years. I dined with the secretary, and it is true, that the Duke of Marlborough is turned out of all. The Duke of Ormond has got his regiment of foot guards, I know not who has the rest. If the ministry be not sure of a peace, I shall wonder at this step, and do not approve it at best. The Queen and Lord Treasurer mortally hate the Duke of Marlborough, and to that he owes his fall, more than to his other faults. Unless he has been tampering too far with his party, of which I have not heard any particulars. However it be, the world abroad will blame us. I confess my belief, that he has not one good quality in the world beside that of a general, and even that I have heard denied by several great soldiers. But we have had constant success in arms while he commanded. Opinion is a mighty matter in war, and I doubt the French think it impossible to conquer an army that he leads, and our soldiers think the same, and how far even this step may encourage the French to play tricks with us, no man knows. I do not love to see personal resentment mix with public affairs. 2. This being the day the lords meet, and the new peers to be introduced, I went to Westminster to see the sight. But the crowd was too great in the house. So I only went into the robing room, to give my four brothers joy, and Sir Thomas Mansell, 5, and Lord Windsor, the other 6 I am not acquainted with. It was apprehended the Whigs would have raised some difficulties, but nothing happened. I went to see Lady Masham at noon, and wish her joy of her new honor, and a happy new year. I found her very well pleased. For peerage will be some sort of protection to her upon any turn of affairs. She engaged me to come at night, and sup with her and Lord Treasurer. I went at 9, and she was not at home, so I would not stay. No, I won't answer your letter yet, young women. I dined with a friend in the neighborhood. I see nothing here like Christmas, except brawn or mince pies in places where I dine, and giving away my half-crowns like farthings to great men's porters and butlers. Yesterday I paid 7 good guineas to the fellow at the tavern, where I treated the society. I have a great mind to send you the bill. I think I told you some articles. I have not heard whether anything was done in the House of Lords after introducing the new ones. Ford has been sitting with me till PS 12 of 8 o'clock. 3. This was our society day. Lord Duplin was president. We choose every week. The last president treats and chooses his successor. I believe our dinner cost £15 beside wine. The secretary grew brisk and would not let me go, nor Lord Lansdowne. 6. Who would fain have gone home to his lady, being newly married to Lady Mary Thin. It was near 1 when we parted, so you must think I cannot write much tonight. The adjourning of the House of Lords yesterday, as the Queen desired, was just carried by the 12 new lords, and 1 more. Lord Radnor was not there. I hope I have cured him. Did I tell you that I have brought Dr. King in to be gazetteer? It will be worth above £200 a year to him. I believe I told you so before, but I am forgetful. Go, get you gone to amber, and claret, and toasted oranges. I'll go sleep. 4. I cannot get rid of the leavings of my cold. I was in the city today, and dined with my printer, and gave him a ballad made by several hands, I know not whom. I believe Lord Treasurer had a finger in it. I added 3 stanzas. I suppose Dr. Arbuthnot had the greatest share. I had been overseeing some other little prints, and a pamphlet made by one of my understrappers. Somerset is not out yet. I doubt not, but you will have the prophecy in Ireland, although it is not published here, only printed copies given to friends. Tell me, do you understand it? No, faith, not without help. Tell me what you stick at, and I'll explain. We turned out a member of our society yesterday for gross neglect and non-attendance. I writ to him by order, to give him notice of it. It is Tom Harley, 7, secretary to the treasurer, and cousin german to Lord Treasurer. He is going to Hanover from the Queen. I am to give the Duke of Ormond notice of his election, as soon as I can see him. 5. I went this morning with a parishioner of mine, one Nuttall, who came over here for a legacy of £100, and a roguish lawyer had refused to pay him, and would not believe he was the man. I writ to the lawyer a sharp letter, that I had taken Nuttall into my protection, and was resolved to stand by him, and the next news was, that the lawyer desired I would meet him, and attest he was the man, which I did, and his money was paid upon the spot. I then visited Lord Treasurer, who is now right again, and all well, only that the Somerset family is not out yet. I hate that. I don't like it, as the man said, bye, etc. Then I went and visited poor Will Congreve, who had a French fellow tampering with one of his eyes. He is almost blind of both. I dined with some merchants in the city, but could not see Stratford, with whom I had business. Presto, leave off your impertinence, and answer our letter, saith M.D. Yes, yes, one of these days, when I have nothing else to do. Oh, faith, this letter is a week written, and not one side done yet. These ugly spots are not tobacco, but this is the last gilt sheet I have of large paper, therefore hold your tongue. Nuttall was surprised when they gave him bits of paper instead of money, but I made Ben Took put him in his jeers. 8. He could not reckon £10, but was puzzled with the Irish way. Ben Took and my printer have desired me to make them stationers to the ordnance, of which Lord Rivers is master, instead of the Duke of Marlborough. It will be £100 a year apiece to them, if I can get it. I will try tomorrow. 6. I went this morning to Earl Rivers, gave him joy of his new employment, and desired him to prefer my printer and bookseller to be stationers to his office. He immediately granted it me, but, like an old courtier, told me it was wholly on my account, but that he heard I had intended to engage Mr. Secretary to speak to him, and desired I would engage him to do so, but that, however, he did it only for my sake. This is a court trick, to oblige as many as you can at once. I read prayers to poor Mrs. Wesley, who was very much out of order, instead of going to church. And then I went to court, which I found very full, in expectation of seeing Prince Eugene, who landed last night, and lies at Leicester House. He was not to see the Queen till 6 this evening. I hope and believe he comes too late to do the Whigs any good. I refused dining with the secretary, and was like to lose my dinner, which was at a private acquaintance's. I went at 6, to see the prince at court, but he was gone into the queen, and when he came out, Mr. Secretary, who introduced him, walked so near him, that he quite screened me from him with his great periwig. I'll tell you a good passage. As Prince Eugene was going with Mr. Secretary to court, he told the secretary that Hoffman, the emperor's resident, said to his highness that it was not proper to go to court without a long wig, and his was a tied-up one. Ah, says the prince, I knew not what to do, for I never had a long periwig in my life, and I have sent to all my valets and footmen to see whether any of them have one, that I might borrow it, but none of them has any. Was not this spoken very greatly with some sort of contempt? But the secretary said it was a thing of no consequence, and only observed by gentlemen ushers. I supped with Lord Masham, where Lord Treasurer and Mr. Secretary supped with us. The first left us at 12, but the rest did not part till 2, yet I have written all this, because it is fresh. And now I'll go sleep if I can, that is, I believe I shall, because I have drank a little. 7. I was this morning, to give the Duke of Ormond notice of the honor, done him to make him one of our society, and to invite him on Thursday next to the thatched house. He has accepted it with the gratitude and humility such a preferment deserves, but cannot come till the next meeting, because Prince Eugene is to dine with him that day, which I allowed for a good excuse, and will report accordingly. I dined with Lord Masham, and sat there till late this evening, and came home, because I was not very well, but a little griped. But now I am well again, I will not go, at least but very seldom, to Lord Masham's suppers. Lord Treasurer is generally there, and that tempts me, but late sitting up does not agree with me. There's the short and the long, and I won't do it. So take your answer, dear little young women, and I have no more to say to you tonight, because of the Archbishop, for I am going to write a long letter to him, but not so politely as formerly. I won't trust him. 8. Well then, come, let us see this letter. If I must answer it, I must. What's here now? Yes, faith, I lamented my birthday 2 days after, and that's all. And you rhyme, Madam Stella, were those verses made upon my birthday? Faith, when I read them, I had them running in my head all the day, and said them over 1,000 times. They drank your health in all their glasses, and wished, etc. I could not get them out of my head. What? No, I believe it was not. What do I say upon the 8th of December? Compare, and see whether I say so. I am glad of Mrs. Stoit's recovery, heartily glad. Your Dolly Manley's and Bishop of Cloyne's 10, child I have no concern about. I am sorry in a civil way, that's all. Yes, yes, Sir George St. George dead. 11, go, cry, Madam Dingley, I have written to the Dean. Raymond will be rich, for he has the building itch. I wish all he has got may put him out of debt. Poh, I have fires like lightning. They cost me 12 pence a week, besides small coal. I have got 4 new caps, madam, very fine and convenient, with striped cambric, instead of muslin, so Patrick need not mend them, but take the old ones. Stella snatched Dingley's word out of her pen. Presto a cold? Why, all the world here is dead with them. I never had anything like it in my life. 'Tis not gone in 5 weeks. I hope Lee is with you before this, and has brought your box. How do you like the ivory rasp? Stella's angry, but I'll have a finer thing for her. Is not the apron as good? I'm sure I shall never be paid it, so all's well again. What? The quarrel with Sir John Walter? 12, why, we had not one word of quarrel, only he railed at me when I was gone. And Lord Keeper and Treasurer teased me for a week. It was nuts to them, a serious thing with a vengeance. The Wicks may sell their estates then, or hang themselves, as they are disposed. For a peace there will be. Lord Treasurer told me that Connolly 13 was going to Hanover. Your Provost 14 is a coxcomb. Stella's a good girl for not being angry when I tell her of spelling. I see none wrong in this. God Almighty be praised that your disorder lessens. It increases my hopes mightily that they will go off. And have you been plagued with the fear of the plague? Never mind those reports. I have heard them 500 times. Replevy? Replevin, simpleton, 'tis dingly I mean, but it is a hard word, and so I'll excuse it. I stated Dingley's accounts in my last. I forgot Catherine's sevenpenny dinner. I hope it was the beefsteaks. I'll call and eat them in spring, but Goody Stoit must give me coffee or green tea, for I drink no bohea. Well, the pamphlet. But there are some additions to the fourth edition. The fifth edition was of 4,000, in a smaller print, sold for sixpence. Yes, I had the £20 bill from Parvisel. And what then? Pray now eat the Lyrica apples. I beg you not to keep them, but tell me what they are. You have had Took's bill in my last. And so there now, your whole letter is answered. I tell you what I do. I lay your letter before me, and take it in order, and answer what is necessary, and so. Well, when I expected we were all undone, I designed to retire for 6 months, and then steal over to Lyricer, and I had in my mouth 1,000 times 2 lines of Shakespeare, where Cardinal Wolsey says, "Weak old man, battered with storms of state, is come to lay his weary bones among you." 15. I beg your pardon. I have cheated you all this margin, I did not perceive it, and I went on whiter and whiter like Stella, awkward sluts, she writes so, there. 16, that's as like as 2x a penny. Weak old man, now I am saying it, and shall till tomorrow. The Duke of Marlborough says there is nothing he now desires, so much as to contrive some way, how to soften Dr. Swift. He is mistaken. For those things that have been hardest against him were not written by me. Mr. Secretary told me this from a friend of the Duke's, and I'm sure now he is down, I shall not trample on him. Although I love him not, I dislike his being out. Burnage was to see me this morning, and gave some very indifferent excuses for not calling here so long. I care not twopence. Prince Eugene did not dine with the Duke of Marlborough on Sunday, but was last night at Lady Betty Germain's assembly, and a vast number of ladies to see him. Mr. Lewis and I dined with a private friend. I was this morning to see the Duke of Ormond, who appointed me to meet him at the cockpit at 1, but never came. I sat to some time with the Duchess. We don't like things very well yet. I am come home early, and going to be busy. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.